Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
In Acts 8:4, the Bible says, "They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God." Now, I want you to think about something. The Christians at Jerusalem had come under some great persecution. Saul, who later became Paul, was hailing men and women that were Christians to jail. They had just killed Stephen, the first martyr in the whole New Testament period. And Stephen was not a pastor, he was a servant. He was one of the deacons, right? One of the seven deacons chosen out. In Acts chapter 6, after Pentecost, the early church was thriving, not because it had a lot of equipment, not because it had a building with pews, stained glass windows, and a good band, right? No, but because it was full of the Holy Ghost. You know, we got more equipment and more so-called education now than ever in church history for 2,000 years, and we got less anointing, less of the power of God. Beloved, if you're listening right now, I want to encourage you to call on the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. That's a New Testament experience for every believer. It did not pass away. It's for every believer under the New Testament period, which is still in place under this era, Acts 2:38, 2:39. To you, to your children, and to as many as are afar off, as many as the Lord your God shall call. Now, they were full of the Holy Ghost, and therefore, in Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You see, they had been with Jesus. That's the degree they had. They didn't go to Bible college. They had the depth of degree of intimacy and anointing by the power of the divine person of the Holy Ghost. And that's why they were able to, the Lord, through the name of Jesus, used them to raise a lame man from his mother's womb. The Lord healed him through Peter and John. Not because they had a degree, but because they knew the Lord. They had been with Jesus, you see. Like Mary. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, remember? In Luke 10:38-42, she chose that better part, better than Martha. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Mary just wanted more of Jesus. In fact, she had been with Jesus. And it's interesting, as my friend Michelle points out, that you always become a better Martha when you're first a good Mary. And that makes so much sense, because when you sit at his feet, when you do get up, you're going to have his anointing. You don't need an education from some so-called higher education seminary or Bible school. I've been to a couple myself. I don't recommend them. I don't think Jesus would either, to be honest with you. We don't have any such command in the Bible. We need more of the Holy Ghost. First off, God wants to baptize every one of his children that are truly born again in the Holy Ghost. That does not save you. It's for you as a Christian. It's a gift from God to every believer who wants more of the Lord in their life. If you read the book of Acts, it's an unmistakable truth and experience for every New Testament believer. In fact, on the ministry website, safeguardyoursoul.com, there is a study guide called Holy Ghost Baptism. Highly recommend you print that out and go through it. Now, in Acts 8, as I begin to say, Jerusalem was hit with persecution. And in Acts 8:4, the Bible says, "They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Now, let's say persecution hit America. How many people that claim to be Christians in America would be able to be scattered abroad and go preach the word? How about less than 1%? Now, that's regrettable. What does that tell us? That tells us that the modern church system is completely irreconcilable, not reconcilable, with true New Testament Christianity as we see modeled in the book of Acts, beloved. It's not producing disciples. We had a guy recently tell us, you got to be a part of the local church. I said, man, my friend, I said, listen, we weren't rude to him. I just said, hey, where did Jesus ever say you need to join a church or become a good church member? How about nowhere? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. What does that mean? Oh, you got to go to a building on Sunday morning. No, not at all. Why wait till Sunday morning? I mean, we get so proud of ourselves because we have good attendance at church. We went 2 or 3 times a week. We never miss. You know, think about how that compares to the early church. They met house to house daily. They were so consumed with the Lord, Acts 2, 42 through 47, that they couldn't get enough of Jesus. And they were full of the Holy Ghost. And that's why when persecution hit in Jerusalem, they went everywhere preaching the word. We shouldn't even have to wait for persecution to go out and communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to others so that they can have an opportunity to repent and be saved. Amen? That's Philemon 1, verse 6 and 7, speak about the communication of thy faith. That does not mean you have to stand on top of a piece of wooden box and preach out loud, but to communicate the testimony of what Jesus has done to save you and how he so loved all of us that he came, gave his life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do we have faith in the word of God? The Bible says, I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The scripture says in Isaiah 55:11 that the word of God never returns void, but it always accomplishes that for which he sends it. Know that the incorruptible seed of the word of God is how men get born again. You and I are called to sow that seed in the hearts of men. Amen. Paul said, planted, or Apollos planted, Paul watered, but God gave the increase. Amen. And we're laborers together with God. All in the same text, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 through 9. Listen, we are laborers together with God, the scripture says. And he also says in that same passage that you are God's building. It's not about brick, wood, mortar. That has nothing to do. That's a building where people meet. And in most cases, they could care less to follow the New Testament prescription of Christianity. Disciples are not being made. Jesus said, go and teach all men everything that I've taught you. And I'm lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. You see, and the way he's with us is that he dwells in us, 1 John 3:24, by his Spirit. And God wants us to be full of the Holy Ghost. If you're a believer and you're listening, God wants you to surrender in a deeper manner and ask him to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise of the baptism in the Spirit to the believers, is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord your God shall call. In other words, the gift of the Holy Ghost is for every born-again believer under the New Testament, period. Now, again, the baptism of the Spirit does not save you. Christ saves you. And the Holy Spirit comes in you at the moment that you surrender or repent and put your faith in Christ. When God brings you to salvation and you agree with him that you're a sinner, you fall upon his mercy, you're born again. The Holy Ghost comes in you. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. But you know, a glass can be half full of water or it can be full, all the way full. What do you want? Do you want all that God has for you? You see, in the book of Acts, we see the mighty acts, not of the apostles, but of the Holy Ghost of God through the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the only name whereby men must be saved, the only way men can be delivered, can be set free from devils, can be healed, can be a blessing, etc., is through the name of Jesus Christ. And believers must be empowered by the Lord himself, the third person, divine person, of the triune God, the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, must fill us, possess us, and overwhelm us so that we're under his power, not up walking by our own power, trying to do the work of God in our own strength. That's absolutely futile endeavor. And that's what you got going on now. You got men that have doctorates, but they don't know how to lead anybody to Jesus. I meet them all the time. They have no spiritual prowess. They don't have any anointing of God on their lives. What do you want? You want to know Jesus and have intimacy with him and obey him by being baptized in the Spirit? Or do you want to have a degree and have a lot of head knowledge, most of which is absolutely useless and even misleading and corrupting? You see, the moment he saved us, we entered into the school of the Holy Ghost, and we have the Word of God, and that's all we need, is the presence of God and the Word of God, the King James Bible. That's all you need. Everything else is in place to divert you from the purity of the Word of God and being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? In Acts, we see in chapter 8 that those that were scattered abroad, they were scattered abroad because persecution hit Jerusalem, where all the Christians were. And God had his way, obviously, in this and was glorified that they'd be scattered abroad throughout the known world. And you know, he had said in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after. I feel like I want to sing, preacher. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Samaria, which was right outside of Jerusalem, and Judea, the whole land of Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. Notice Jesus said, you shall receive power. He's talking to his own people. After, not before, but after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses right here in Jerusalem, over here in Samaria, all around us in Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth, even Italy and Iran. That's for the folks in the world. Go ahead.
Here's a good verse. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Absolutely, man. That's Acts chapter 4.
431.
And 532, is it? What's 532 say?
It says, and we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Amen. Now, have you obeyed God by repenting and being saved? If you have, you know you have. But what are you waiting on? God wants to baptize you and in the Holy Ghost. There's an initial filling, and then there can be an ongoing. I got saved. Lord save me. And then 9 months later, I was praying along the way, Reza, that God would give me consistency. I was tired of not being consistent. I wanted to serve the Lord. I had heard that verse where Jesus said, I was a brand new Christian. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And that's a sharp sword right there. It's like you're either in or you're out. There's no in between, right? That's what he meant. And so I prayed, Lord, sincerely pray, please help me to be more consistent. Help me to be strong in you. I didn't know what I was praying for, but I was praying for the Holy Ghost. I didn't know it yet. I didn't know the Word of God. And I met a beloved pastor in Alabama, and he asked me if I was born again. He was bold, man, very full of love, too, but loved the Word. He said, are you born again? I said, yeah. He looked at me and said, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? I looked at him like, you know, like they say, a calf at a new gate. I didn't know. I'd never heard of that. And he said, would you like to hear more about it? We'll go through some scripture. I said, sure. So he took me through the New Testament, all over the New Testament. John the Baptist even said that Jesus was going to baptize his people with the Holy Ghost and fire. Acts 3:11, 3:12. And this is the promise of the Father that was to come, where the second person of the Godhead, Jesus, was when he rose from the dead, he was going to send down the Holy Ghost, amen, to be in every believer. That's why Jesus could only be in one place at one time when he was here in the flesh. But he said, it is better, it is expedient for you that I go away. That I die on that cross, I'm buried and rise again, because when I go to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. That's my promise to you. That is the promise of the Father. Luke 24:49, Jesus said in verse 47 that repentance should be preached in all the world, the gospel, which begins with repent. Amen? Because we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. And in the same breath, what did he say? He said, but tarry ye in the, wait in the city of Jerusalem. He said, told his own disciples that had walked with him for over 3 years. He said, you wait. Do not go forth and try to do my work. A lot of folks today are trying to do their work, the work of God, in their own flesh. You can't do it. They've been misled, and they haven't been introduced to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is all over the Word of God. This is biblical Christianity, like it or not. I know a lot of people have been taught falsely. So, but Jesus says in Luke 24:49, tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem. Until you be endued, that means clothed upon in the Greek, with power from on high. You need God's power. I need God's power to live the victorious life. And that comes from laying down our lives, surrendering, denying ourselves, being as a seed that falls into the ground and dies, right? Jesus taught the cross. Jesus taught you die to yourself, and I'll raise you up in my power. The same Spirit, Holy Ghost, that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal body. Paul said, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. How does that happen? Well, you go down. You say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done today. Hallelujah. Now, folks, let me stop right here and say, you or I, none of us have ever walked across perfect. Probably not even for a day. Let's get honest, guys. We're not trying to put forth some sinless perfection, you know, you need to follow us because we're perfect. That's ridiculous. We're preaching Christ, not ourselves. 2 Corinthians 3:5. For we preach Christ and not ourselves. We're just your servants. So anyway, but the good news is that today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you can, as Paul said, forget those things which are behind and reach forth into those things which are before you and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you before the clock strikes midnight tonight, wherever you are, whatever you do, I don't care what time it is, you get alone with the Lord, you get on your knees and you turn off the lights and you praise God for saving your wretched soul and asking Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Raise your hands, open your heart, and cry out to Jesus, as the song says, to fill you overflowing with His Holy Ghost to dominate your life. Hallelujah. You and I, in areas that we're weak, why are we weak? Because the Holy Ghost ain't in control yet. You know, when people talk to me about being weak, we get calls from all over the nation, and, you know, I've been weak many times in my Christian walk, too. When they, having this cross understanding and the resurrection power of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, raising us up as we lay down our lives. This is the truth, the theme, the scriptures that you'll find in the two books, Raised Up and I Die Daily. I highly recommend these books. It's only because they're full of scripture and they teach the cross. Amen. I Die Daily, that's a scripture, and Raised Up, that's also a scripture, are available at safeguardyoursoul.com. Now, when people call me and ask for prayer, or they confess a sin, and whatever it is, God's greater than that sin, amen? I'm not going to sit there and beat them up. They've already confessed it, hello? They don't need me beating them up. I'm not the judge anyway, hello? You know, it's amazing how pharisaical we are, and we call it godly. It's wicked. I'm there to edify, build up, and, you know, if I can help him get closer, or her get closer to Jesus, don't you know Jesus is going to cause them to overcome from the inside out? Because God is working in each of his people both the will and to do of his good pleasure as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And part of working out your salvation is sometimes confessing your faults to a brother. Hello? You know, I think you need to be careful about who you do that. Because there's some people that are swine that pose as brothers and sisters who will turn again and rend you. That's how you know they're a swine. They're not saved. They're false brethren, which is a term we see in the New Testament. How do we know that? Well, they rend you. They turn around and they use stuff against you. Twist it, paint it with a black brush, and tell everybody how terrible you are. Anybody ever had that happen? I've talked to numerous believers lately who've had that happen. And it's the ones that are bearing the fruit. They're under great attack, and it's going to increase. The Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse as the end comes. But Jesus said he's with you always, and to you that are being persecuted, rejoice. Great is your reward in heaven when men say all manner of evil against you falsely. Man, I've never seen more better storytellers in all my life than I've seen in the last 6 months. People making up stuff and misrepresenting stuff. It's amazing. One man said that he is an older man and exposing some people that are just nothing but charlatans that are teaching false doctrine. The Bible says to mark those that teach false doctrine, basically. Romans 16:17-18. When people make mistakes or sin or whatever, you don't run out and mark them. You try to get them restored. That's what Jesus taught. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the mature way. Pray for them, help them be restored, which means being full of the Holy Ghost to where he dominates their flesh nature. Amen. Anyway, he's being accused of, oh, I don't even want to mention the filthy things they're making up about this guy. All because, well, he's exposing the false doctrine that they're teaching and how they're ripping people off, etc. So I don't know all the details, but I've talked to numerous people lately that under this attack that God is with us even to the end. We need the Holy Ghost for many reasons, beloved. We need to be baptized in the Spirit and filled fresh on a regular basis. And you know, when that happens, you got people when they go about in their daily walk, not just when persecution hits, but every day. You've had time with Jesus. Remember, they took note of the apostles because what? They had been with Jesus. Why? Because every morning they went to prayer. We see that in Acts 3. In fact, when this healing happened, as you can read about it, this lame man, from his mother's womb, this notable miracle through the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Ghost. It happened as they were on their way to prayer. Amen? In the ninth hour, they were on their way to prayer. And this man who was lame from his mother's womb, Acts 3:1 and 2, looked on them. He looked to them for some help. He was looking for some money, a handout. But Peter said, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said what? Look on up. And he gave heed. In other words, look this way. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, apparently he was expecting to receive some money. But he needed a whole lot more than that, didn't he? And God knew it, and God loved this man. Then verse 6. Then Peter said, what did Peter say, bro?
Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen. We don't have any money, but brother, we got something greater than that. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And this man was healed, and he entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 8. He was walking, he was leaping, and he was praising God. As you can see, as you read these chapters, this created the biggest uproar. Absolutely turned the city of Jerusalem upside down, because everybody in the city knew this man and they knew he was born lame. But through the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, through a couple of men that had been with Jesus, Acts 4:13, God did a great work. And God wants to do a great work through you and through I, even when we're all alone out there. Now, Jesus sent them two by two, but sometimes you're alone. It seems like Philip will operate alone sometimes, and Stephen. But, you know.
Be a good cop,
say it lightly, bro. Right? Yeah. Jesus said he's with us even to the end of the age, as Aaron's saying. So God is with us. But are we full of the Holy Ghost? Are we submitting to the New Testament plan of the Lord? Have we followed a religious tradition that's inspired by Satan to rob us of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That would be something we wouldn't want. Now notice, again, in Acts 8, beginning in verse 1, let's read a little bit of this. And Saul was consenting unto his death, unto Stephen's death. What's it say, verse 1, Acts 8?
And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem.
Well, they were upset. These Jews, the religionists, were absolutely furious because their little show, the attention, was moved off of them onto these Holy Ghost-filled disciples of Jesus, the one that came to die for all of them, but the religionists reject Christ, they're antichrist. Let me just say this. Religion and self-righteous religious people are the vilest, most wicked, filthy sinners on the face of the earth. Do I need to repeat myself? Let me do it. I'll be glad to. According to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, religious people, listen, there's no new thing under the sun, beloved. The self-righteous are alive and well, baby. That's who's going to be persecuting you. And the persecution I talked about earlier, it's all coming from people that are supposed to be Christians, and a lot of it's coming from people that claim to be in the ministry. They're false brethren. They're totally counterfeit. They have turned away from the Lord. They've departed from the faith. They're now justified by the works of the law. They're like the Galatians who have begun in the Spirit, but now they're made perfect by the flesh. They no longer trust God by faith. They've departed from the faith. They don't have the love of God in them. And that's how we know who's a believer. We know we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14 and 15. Those who don't have love do not know God. Doesn't matter how long their robe is, how big their pulpit is, how nice their three-piece suit is, or how big their church building is, as sure as you hear my voice, they're going to be in the deepest, most wicked part of hell. Jesus said the whores, the prostitutes, the harlots, and that includes every form and class of vile sinner, will go to heaven before the self-righteous. Paul was absolutely intent upon being found in Christ's righteousness, not having his own righteousness. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:9. Now, here we got absolute fury going on here in Jerusalem. These religious bigots, filthy, self-righteous animals were absolutely furious. If you think my language is kind of strong, go read Matthew 23, my friend. You want to see some strong language from the Son of God? Read Matthew 23. See what he has to say about the religious self-righteous who are holier than thou. Isaiah 65:5 is where we find that term. And all their characteristics. Go read Matthew 23. Get familiar with the characteristics of self-righteous religionists who are hellbound. He says it three times in that chapter. So that you can avoid being like them and repent of anything you see in there that applies to you. Hallelujah. God's setting his people free, those who are crying out to him and following Jesus, hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. Amen. So, explosion happens. Persecution comes down on the body of Christ in Jerusalem because the power of God was on them. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They were gathering house to house daily. They didn't wait till Sunday and put on their Sunday bash and go to some stupid building to be entertained. And that's why right here in just a minute we're going to find out that they were able to go everywhere preaching the Lord. Why? Because the early church was full of the Holy Ghost. They loved Jesus. They were seeking the Lord. And they were fellowshipping every day, house to house. And so every one of them was being equipped. And so they were able to go. They were able to be scattered abroad. They went all the different directions from Jerusalem preaching the word. They didn't need to call the pastor. No, they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were the temple of God. Aren't you? Are you? They were full of the word of God. They were disciples. They weren't following a man. They were following Jesus Christ. They were full of him. They weren't touting that they were good church members. Jesus never told anybody to join a church or become a good church member. He said, follow me. And when you're following Jesus the way he prescribed, denying yourself, taking up your cross, following him, being full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Spirit, then what's going to happen? You're going to be able to go out all by yourself and be a witness for Jesus. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses.
Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.
Thank you. Say that again, brother. Yeah. Follow me.
He says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah.
Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. So if I'm following him, am I becoming a fisher of men?
Meaning you'll be a disciple, out witnessing for other lost souls.
Amen.
What
you'll do, if you didn't hear that, is you will be fishing for souls. You'll be seeking and to save that which was lost. You'll be ministering to lost people, giving them the word of God, and beckoning them to repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, so Acts 8.
8:1 again?
Yeah.
And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them.
Well, who did he preach?
Christ unto them.
Oh, what did he not preach, as we see happening today? He didn't preach, come to our church. We've got a better church than the one down the street. We got a better music program. We got a great summer camp and a children's program. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, they preached Christ. That's imitation Christianity. That's not real. That's all you can say is, well, our church this, our pastor this, well, we do this. Who cares, man? Most people that are into all that stuff, and most people in America that claim to be Christians, I don't mean to be rude, but they haven't even read the book of Acts. In fact, it's shunned in most so-called Christian denominations and local churches. Get in the book of Acts and see if your quote-unquote Christianity matches up with New Testament Christianity, biblical Christianity, as we see on the pages of the early church. Amen?
Verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed.
And there was great joy in that city, verse 8, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what did Jesus say in Mark 16, all the new versions of the Bible, which are totally corrupt, remove that text or cast doubt on it? But the original in Textus Receptus Greek contains the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which Satan does not want you to know about. That's why we know, it's one of the many reasons why we know the new versions are corrupt. Satan didn't want you to know how to cast him out. Go look for Matthew 17:21 in your new version. Not there. Why? Because it says, Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. I've seen more jaws hit the ground over that situation. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'll show them the verses that I'm missing. Just four of them. I've got them memorized. Matthew 17:21. Ripped out of the Bible. Who wanted that out of the Bible? You take a guess who wanted that out of the Bible. I got my conclusion. It's very obvious. We're in a spiritual warfare, folks. We're in a fight. There's an enemy of the Lord, and you're the Lord's child, so you're his enemy too. Wake up. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's not resting, he's seeking whom he may devour. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This kind cometh not out but by what? Prayer and fasting. This kind of unbelief and this kind of devil. When you're praying and fasting and full of the Holy Ghost, you can cast out any devil. In fact, Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you believe? Do you believe the whole gospel? Do you believe all of the words of Jesus or just some of them? If you're a true believer, you believe them all. You don't pick and choose. You don't follow philosophies and traditions and religion. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will do what? They will cast out devils. Hallelujah. When's the last time you cast out a devil and helped somebody get free? Amen? Full of the Holy Ghost and using the name above all names to get rid of those devils out of people's lives and out of our own lives. Amen? And he also said, they shall speak with new tongues. Hello, Mark 16, verse 17.
I was going to say, too, about espousing people to churches or to Christ. It says in Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
So Paul did three things to present every man perfect in Christ. And if you're an overseer, a servant, elder, this is exactly what you're called to do. What is it? Colossians 1:28. Three things. I call it the PWT principle. Preach, warn, and teach. Read that again.
Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Whom we preach. If the subject, the grand topic of every message we preach is not Jesus Christ, we have missed everything. What are we doing? We know God's word, but we're not seeing Christ in it because we won't come to him. John 5, 39 and 40. The Pharisees were hell-bound. Jesus said it over and over, they're going to hell. Three times in Matthew 23, one chapter, he said they're going to hell. He said in Matthew 31 that the whores, the harlots, the prostitutes will be in heaven before the self-righteous religions. Hello. Now, I lost my train of thought. So, we need to preach Christ. Jesus said about the Pharisees, he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, but you won't come to me. John 5, 39 and 40. They knew the letter of the law. They knew they had the scriptures memorized, but they wouldn't open their hearts and repent and come to know, put their faith in the one the scriptures reveal. There are a lot of people, I know a lot of people, unfortunately, that know the scriptures. They even teach the Bible. But they refuse to seek the Lord. They refuse to repent and get on their face and go on a fast and break up their fallow ground to know the Lord. Why? They love self. Their God is their belly. I know several people who call themselves pastors. They hide behind the keyboard and they parade themselves as pastors, teaching the Bible, but they won't repent and come to the Lord even though they know the scriptures. It's a shame. They preach Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the revealed Messiah from Genesis to Revelation. He's the sacred substance of the scriptures. He is the grand subject of all of Holy Scripture. Amen. He's the creator and sustainer of all life. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was and who is to come, the Almighty Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Now, unclean spirits, the Bible says here in verse 7 of Acts 8, came out of people. They're crying with loud voice. Man, these devils were tormenting, weren't they? Crying out. Crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. That's a lot of folks possessed with the devil. You know that right here in America. Through their music, through sins they've committed, through Ouija boards, through any kind of witchcraft that they're participating. I can tell you right now, friend, if you have been through any, if you look at horoscopes, you've opened yourself up to the devil. Because you're looking to a creation of God to divine or figure out your future, and that is idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Instead of looking to the one who put those things in the sky, who made them, the Lord, the one who bled on Calvary's cross for you, was buried and rose again, the one Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've looked to horoscopes, if you have been, if you've used the Ouija board, you've had tarot cards read over you, whatever that witchcraft is, or any kind of divining sorcery or any kind of witchcraft like that, which the Bible speaks about much, you have opened up the door to the devil and he's in your life. But the good news is that he can be cast out. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee from you. Draw nigh, draw close to God, he will draw close to you. When God draws close to you upon repentance and crying out and seeking his holy face, guess what? Satan's got to go, baby. If you need deliverance, get with some true believers that will pray over you and pray with you to get delivered, to denounce any sin you've committed that opened the door to the devil. James 4, 7, and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. When you submit yourself to God, you can then resist the devil, and you might need some friends with you, and he will flee from you. He has to relinquish legal right once you repent. Hallelujah. Unclean spirits need to come out of everybody, but we got to get cleaned up. We got to get the logs out of our own eyes and the sin out of our own lives and the devils out of our own life in order that we can go forth and help others become restored to the Lord who made them and bled on Calvary's cross for them. Amen. Jesus often cast out many devils. That's New Testament Christianity, folks. When's the last time you cast out a devil? So, men that were lame were healed. Now, let's read a little bit more. Verse 9, what's that say?
But there was a certain man,
Acts 8:9,
called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. Giving out.
You know, there's a lot of folks bewitching folks these days. Galatians 3:3 speaks of that. Bewitchment. This isn't fictional. This is actual. That word is in the Bible. Bewitching. Putting a spell of vexation on people. Bringing them under a demonic spirit. One of the ways they do that, let me talk about this for a second. I've seen this for over two decades as a Christian, where people will feign to be hearing from God all the time, every time they breathe. Oh, the Lord told me this. Well, I'm going into prayer. And then they set themselves up as some kind of a mouthpiece for God in an undue fashion, bringing attention to themselves, acting as if they got an inroad to God that nobody else has. Why are they doing that? Well, they're flattering you. They're seducing you. There's a seducing spirit working through them to draw you in so that they can then position themselves spiritually over you and bewitch you. And what they're doing is they're blocking your way to the head of the church, Jesus Christ, who's the only mediator between God and man. They are seducing you by making it, you don't even know what's going on if you're a young Christian. You're gullible. That's why I'm talking about this. Beware. There are people just like this man named Simon, who was a sorcerer. He used sorcery. A lot of people using sorcery, witchcraft. And they're bewitching the people, as Simon was doing in Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. See, they act like they're some great one by saying, oh, the Lord showed me this. Oh, the Lord said that. Oh, the Lord, not from Scripture, but what they think they're hearing from the Holy Spirit, or act like they're hearing from the Holy Spirit. They're feigning to be hearing from God in such a way that other people around go, wow, I wish I could hear from God that way. And what are they doing? They're seducing you. The Bible says that there is a tactic of the devil to spread a net for your feet. And one of those tactics is flattery.
When they start looking towards the sorcerer, you end up turning towards the sorcerer to kind of say, well, how did you hear that? Or tell me how you do that. And so your eyes focus on him. It takes it right off of
there it is.
You're supposed to have exactly to speak to you.
Yeah. So it really intercepts the affections of people's hearts away from Jesus onto some other person.
Right.
And the first commandment says what? Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me. God is a jealous God. In fact, he said his name is jealous. See, so this guy, and I'm going to underline, I've already bracketed this little passage, the end of Acts 8:9, giving out that himself was some great one. You see, Paul said, mark those who do as he did, and that was what? Preached Christ. All the disciples and the apostles in the New Testament scriptures preached Christ. It's all about Christ. It's not about us. We don't have a ministry. The Holy Ghost has a ministry, and we're just blessed that he would dare use us in spite of us, not because of us. Paul said, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. Reminded of two chapters that we have in the book called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, called Nicolaitans. That means conquer the laity. Jesus said he hated the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Now, I believe this is the only time Jesus came out and said he hated the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. You better find out what the Nicolaitans stood for and what they were doing, because Jesus hates that. It's Revelation 2, verse 6 and 15. Nicolaitans, conquer. Nico means conquer. Laitans means the laity. Conquer the people. Deceive them into thinking that they need you. That's what religion does. You need to join this church. You need to come up under this pastor. You know, I've heard people say, brother, if you leave this covering, you're going to be under a curse. Why? They're totally operating in witchcraft, just like Simon was here. He was giving out that himself was some great one. He was demoting Christ. He was pushing Christ aside and elevating himself. That's what Lucifer did. And for it, he was cast out of heaven. These men are not saved and cast out of the kingdom of God if they were ever a part of it.
On the seduction and also giving yourself out that you're some great one, Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach.
She was self-appointed, right? She called herself a prophetess.
To teach.
We see it all over the internet. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's fine.
Apostle Mary Smith. Are you kidding me? A woman can't be in the fivefold office of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, because she cannot be the husband of one wife. She cannot possibly be an elder in the body of Christ. She's to be protected under God-fearing men who are laid down in their lives. Anyway, this is what we see all over the internet. There's no new thing under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. Learn that verse, beloved. There's no new thing under the sun. You see it in the scriptures, you learn it, and you look for it because it's around you today. Read it again, bro.
Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman, Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants.
Oh, boy. You know, to commit fornication, and that's, I believe, primarily spiritual fornication, but it also results in physical fornication. Now, read that verse again.
Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee.
Jesus is talking.
Because thou allowest that woman, Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
You know, we've had people that the devil's always trying to get in. You know, he's always that snake in the garden, like the Garden of Eden, trying to slither his way into your life or into your group. God didn't ordain women to oversee gatherings. He wants them protected. Something happened after the fall. That doesn't make women inferior at all. We see women doing all kinds of ministry, but God ordains men to serve as servants that are crucified with Christ in the fear of God, to honor God, and to be a blessing to others. And so you don't let a woman come in and start giving ideas and notions and trying to control. We had a woman from another country trying to control our group here. She was slithering in. We see that right here in Revelation chapter 2. We're not to allow this woman Jezebel. You see that? Let me tell you something. It takes an Ahab or a group of them to facilitate or enable a Jezebel. You got to stand up and say, no, thank you. Back off. Get out. We don't want your input. We didn't ask for it. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. You don't need somebody else reigning over your life. Christ died for you, and he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you, and he will speak to your heart, and you don't need to look to anybody who feigns to hear from God or be this prophetess or, you know, have this hearing ear that's better than everybody else. Amen.
1 John 2:26, these things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Beautiful. Did you finish that Revelation 2 passage? Revelation 2, verse 20 through 23 is where we see Jesus addressing Jezebel at Thyatira. He said he's got something against him. If you're allowing a woman to run your life, sir, Jesus Christ has something against you. He's got something against you. That's his own word right here. You don't allow a woman to run your life. Give not your strength to women. Proverbs 31:3. You don't dominate women either. Dominate your own flesh. Amen. That's a full-time job last time I checked. God didn't call us to hurt anybody. God didn't call you to misuse your place. But you're also not to be controlled, especially in the household or in the ministry. You hear from God, you walk with God, with the other men of God who are fearing God, fasting, praying, and living by the Word of God in the power of the Spirit. So Jesus said he had somewhat against the Thyatiran believers because they had allowed, enabled, don't enable it, stand up, back it off. I don't just back it off, I run it off. Jezebels don't like me. I'm glad. Yeah. They don't like those who, they don't like godly women. I know a lot of godly women. Jezebel don't like them. It's not about whether you're male or female. Women have the power to be a blessing. But when a woman's heart turns against the Lord, we see Ecclesiastes 7:26, her hands are as bands, traps, right? And her feet as snares, you know, traps. Ecclesiastes 7:26. And Solomon said he, what's worse, it's more bitter than death. A woman whose hands are as bands? Yeah, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets. A snare is a trap. A net is also another trap. Catch people, catch prey in. And her hands as bands. Bands are something else you catch people with. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. You ever been taken by Jezebel? Perhaps it was because you got sin in your life you wouldn't confess. I can say amen myself on that one for sure. Now, notice that Simon in Acts 8 was a man. He was operating in witchcraft. He was causing people to look to him as if he was some great one. Acts 8, 9, the end of it. And the Bible itself comes out and says this guy was operating in sorcery, witchcraft. And he bewitched the people, giving out that himself was some great one. Self-promotion. She calleth herself a Jezebel. He called himself by something. He put off that he was some great one. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed. There's a lot of gullible people. Why? My people are destroyed but for lack of knowledge, for lack of knowing the Lord and knowing the Word. The simple believe every word, but the just man looks well to his goings. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, gullibility is a curse. Gullibility and naivety is not meekness or humility. It's foolishness. So giving out that himself was some great one. A lot of folks doing that. A lot of self-appointed folks. You know, everything we do to bring attention to ourselves unduly is stealing the glory from Jesus Christ, upon whom every Christian's affection is to be upon Jesus, the only head of the church. Verse 10, Acts 8, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. They had this guy in high esteem. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. And ourselves, your servants. Any man that's in leadership that is not constantly telling you about how he's a servant only and just blessed to be saved, you better be aware of. Paul was very forthright about this. In fact, in Acts 14:14, when the people wanted to elevate Paul and Barnabas, I believe it was, unduly call him Mercurius and whatever, they ran in among them and split their clothes open and said, we're men of like passions. These are lost people. They humbled themselves in front of the law. They didn't try to act and put on some act like there was something, you know, divine of themselves or some great ones. No, they're not great. They serve a great God. I often say that we need to stop saying, wow, that brother's a great man of God. That woman's a great woman of God. No, how about this? There's a great God of sinful men that he saved and sanctified and is using. Amen. Something like that would be more appropriate. It's God who is great and awesome, not us. It's not about us. It's about Christ, folks. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying that this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. This is witchcraft when people do this kind of stuff. Drawing attention away from Jesus to themselves. That's anti-Christ, in place of Christ. They're putting themselves in place of Christ. And let me tell you right now, that they're under the judgment of God. They're under the judgment of God. That's witchcraft. And God will destroy them. Paul said that he wished those who had bewitched the Galatians were even cut off. Paul said that? Yes. Read the book of Galatians. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip. Philip wasn't an apostle or a pastor. He was a servant, a deacon. This power of God, he wants it residing in all of us. You don't have to get a degree. In fact, don't do it. You'll have to unlearn a million things. It'll take you years. That's put you in reverse. Just get full of the Holy Ghost and learn the Word of God. Amen. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning what? What did Philip preach? The things concerning the kingdom of God. Not some stupid little local church business. or franchise, but the kingdom of God. Kingdom is the domain of the King Jesus. That's what he preached. And the name, hallelujah, the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Philip went right in the middle of this and just bashed, just crushed this demonic stronghold of witchcraft with the preaching of the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You read Colossians 2, you find out that Jesus triumphed over the devil when he died on the cross, shedding his own precious blood. His name is the name above all names. Amen. Every knee, every devil must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Then Simon himself, verse 13, believed also. Wow. It even got Simon saved. Amen. God had mercy on his soul. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. I'm going to kind of wrap it up there. You know, one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, what you're going to get when the Lord baptizes you in the Spirit, if you haven't been already, is the discerning of spirits. It's very important in this late hour. There are many people that are flattering and drawing attention to themselves and seducing folks to come up under their witchcraft and control. And they're separating disciples after them. As Paul speaks about, he cried with tears for 3 years concerning the Ephesian overseers. Because he said, I know this, that after my departing, Acts 20:29, shall grievous wolves, not just wolves, but grievous wolves enter in among you, right in the middle, right in your midst, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves, right in the midst of you, shall men arise speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away disciples after them. That's why the bewitchment comes. That's how Satan works, through people who have departed from the faith. They didn't depart from the fellowship. It says they departed from the faith. That's what the Holy Ghost spoke expressly in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to search us, O God, and know us and try our hearts to see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, purge, deliver, bless, God, in Jesus' name. Quicken us in the fear of God. Unite our hearts to fear thy holy name, to cry out to you, Lord, to baptize us in the Holy Ghost and deliver us from all traces of your enemy out of our lives. In the name above all names, Jesus Christ.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.